Awesome. Welcome to the 16th of June Aries Bifold user group call. And note that this is a Hyperledger Linux Foundation call. So note the antitrust policy and the code of conduct. We'll jump right in. Feel free to add yourself to the attendees list. I don't think we have too much in the way of announcements, but probably some updates on the deployments and work updates section. A couple of noteworthy things. Kareem, I've seen that you've been hard at work on the state management pieces, so that's been awesome. You have a draft PR open there.
It's still have to do a last fix. I just discovered that, so but then it will be a real PR.
Awesome. And then Timo, I saw you put together this for the actual package itself. Is this actually working? I haven't actually tested that, or is it in place to work?
It's just a placeholder name. I wanted to pack it and use it in one of our projects, so I wanted to like come up with a name I want to use for now. We don't have to use this name, but this was the initial thing that I came up with. It's open for change.
Cool. I am not actually opposed to this name. I think our package that Neil created was also a placeholder of so we could have some discussion but get things moving. So let's talk about the name down in the agenda here. Is there anything that you think would be worth noting on the AFJ side of things, do you think, or nothing major here?
Not that I can think of initially. No, I don't think so. I have a PR open. I think that will help is for computed tags, which means we don't have to manually set them in the process, but you can just say these values of records should be added as tags automatically. So you can index or search records by those tags. I think that's nice to have and will make it easier to, you just have to specify a property of a record and it will from then on automatically be stored as a tag, just like Ecopy has it. Besides that, no. We're working on auto-acceptance for issue credential and present proof. Not ready yet, but I think that will be very beneficial to this part. Mainly because we're trying to do it in a way like it's not just or nothing, but something in between where you need to accept the content once. And if the content doesn't change in the rest of the exchange, it will be automated. If the content does change, it will not be auto-accepted.
Mm.
Which is, I think, the flow you want for mobile holder agents most of the time.
So this is actually very relevant because we've been working on putting together some. Patrick has been working on putting together a PR that would allow you to select which credentials you want to use with in regards to an attribute or a predicate. So if you have multiple credentials, then that would allow the user to select which credential they want to utilize. I'm not sure if that completely overlaps or how those two coincide, but
is that on the AFJ's level or on the mobile agent level?
That's on the AFJ level.
Okay, cool. I will be interested to hear in like how they, yeah, what it entails, because I had a bit of a hard time like doing that, because most of the complexity that comes with it, yeah, you can't really do inside the framework, because you really need like the business logic or the human factor to it to decide which credentials to share. We only have like the auto creating. That's just, we pick the first possibility that we can find, and that's what we create, but that's not what you want most of the times.
Yes, agreed. From a high level, we took the approach of this is essentially returning arrays of the possible credentials, which makes it more complicated on the front end, but that was the simplest option we identified to give control to the developer to be able to provide that information.
So the user picks one?
Yes.
Right. So we didn't expose that yet, because I think that's already possible lower level, but it's not exposed on a higher level, or?
The thought process that we were approaching with is that, because on a low level, when you do get requested credentials, it will return the all of the relevant credentials, but AFJ converts that into a form that you can then use for the proof or to create a proof. So we're essentially kind of inserting a step in between that will allow you to manually choose versus have it automatically choose for you.
That's great. We're gonna need that soon. So nice if that's if you're making a PR for that. Yeah, I think combined with the auto acceptance, that will be great. I think for present proof, it's less useful, but it's mostly for, I think for both. Like after you accept an offer or you accept a request, you want the rest to be automated from then on.
Oh, okay. I see. For some reason it didn't click when you said auto accept, except for that's very clear actually. So I'm glad.
Okay, yeah, no misconception. Yeah, no, I actually meant like what we have with connections is that you, when you accept or receive an invitation or agent wide, you can say you want to auto accept it, which means the whole flow will be done. And at the moment for credentials and proofs, you need to do that manually. So after you receive the credential, you need to manually say send acknowledgement, which you don't want to do
exactly
most of the times.
Yeah, because that means you have to set up the multiple event listeners, and then you have to listen at every step, and it's if we can automate
makes
that,
it's a lot complexer. Yeah,
exactly. Awesome. Well, glad to hear on that. Looking forward to your bits there. I think Patrick is making good progress on that, so hopefully we should be able to see a PR there soon. Agenda wise, had a couple of things here. Most of note, well, not most of note, I guess I can quickly go over this, is that wanted to ask if there were any volunteers to help run the bifold calls. If there's any interest there, if so, feel free to reach out to me and just to try and help. Like I think I may be going on a vacation on the next call, so trying to alternate some of that load there could be helpful.
I can help if you like if you need someone, I can pick it over, or I think Kareem will also be glad to
yeah, help with that. More than happy to.
Awesome.
You need your vacation, man.
Agreed. Awesome. 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 Either of you would be great. So I don't have too much on the agenda today. Mostly wanted to have any relevant discussion on the state management stuff, any status on the shared components. And then I had two kind of questions/discussion points, but are there any other things that would be good to put on today's agenda? Sweet. let's just jump straight into the state management piece then. I haven't had a chance to look too much at the relevant PRs, Kareem. I know you've made good progress though.
Yeah, I can, like, I hope my computer, it's like 32 degrees here today and my computer is very slow. So I hope it will work with the screen sharing. I don't have the permissions, but I can run through, let me see. Am I able to do it now? Yes, I am.
And yeah, my apologies. Neil and I intended to help with the presentation slice, and then we've both been sick off and
on. No, don't worry about it. It's we needed like credentials, connections, and proofs for our project anyway, and it was. I've done a lot of refactoring in between, so I don't think it's a bad thing. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that is very nice. Changes haven't been too much, I think. Timo added, I think, last week. I initially put the entire state, just the state as I define it. So this would have been a connection slice into this, and Timo added this instead of the connection slice itself, which enables people who don't want to adopt like the entire store to like have a partial part of the state, like just the connection state. So it's just a bit more modular.
Awesome.
A thing that I have done, which is apparently very against the TypeScript rules, is use namespaces. And the reason for that is, and this is super open for discussion, the reason for that is that to make it as modular as we wanted, we need to basically export everything to the public API. Which means you have a ton of selectors, you have a ton of tunks. I don't know, but let's say about 10 connection tunks, 10 connection selectors, 10 for the credentials, for the proofs, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So I thought some kind of namespacing would be nice. So I used this, which allows you to, basically say, okay, connection selectors dot connection state selector, for instance. This is, I put it in the TS config, because by default it is forbidden by the TypeScript gods. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is not final still. I have added some comments here and there, just I copied them from AFJ. And this has to be changed because I thought, well, it would be a great idea to have a like selector for every credential, connection, whatever state. So you can like just get every, let's say, connection with the init state from the store. And then Timo reminded me, well, that is a little bit, that causes a little bit of overhead. Why not pass in a argument? So mm-hmm. I will refactor that later on. That was not the smartest thing to do. For the rest, yeah,
I'm not as familiar as I would like to be with namespaces, but I'm curious on what's the negative, why is TypeScript so negative about that?
I am not sure. As far as I understand it, it was like it's kind of a legacy thing, and now they prefer you use ES whatever, you use modules and export it that way. I am sure Timo is now saying something in the chat. Yep, look at him go always. Okay. Thank you, ES 2015. That is preferred, like the export import, but I maybe I'm wrong there, but I didn't get like the same result. Like I cannot import you still have to import like a file path, and I didn't want that. I like to just say, okay, from, well, now it is, I think, at Aries framework slash Redux store, I want to import this. And then you have, you know, when you do connection selectors dot, you have all the stuff there. But again, like if this is not the way we want to do it, I'm super happy to change it. Yeah, for the rest, is not, yeah,
go ahead. Is it acting, this may be a dumb question, but is it acting as a interface of sorts, or is this actually pointing to actual functions?
No, so I mean, for instance, you can, and now my computer is really slow, you can just, I hope the autocomplete will
kick in,
give me a suggestion in the following hour. Yeah, and it does. It is just not so speedy. So this is basically what it does. It's just it's a namespace. So it's I don't think it's really an interface. It's just a
way of grouping them.
Of sorts. Yeah. Because otherwise, like if you do an import, you get a very, very long list of stuff you don't want.
Could you group them together as one object that you, or in a JSON object that you export?
I don't actually know how to do that. I tried to like export objects, but that didn't really work.
I think that's also the recommended way today. Is just you can just create an object like const connection selectors is, create a JSON object and place them all in there and export that. I think that's basically from the user side. It will be the same functionality. You just don't use namespace.
I'm happy to refactor it to that. If that is, if that gives the same result, I'm happy to do that.
I know Patrick also, or one of the things that you may need to do there is, I forget how you do this, but you can define it as I forget what it's called, but it's essentially allowing you to access it from anywhere within the application, which would work similarly to a namespace in this case, but is using the exports to do that.
Yeah, I think the application using, that would be, I guess, a tsconfig thing that you, I think it's paths or something where you can alias a certain path to a certain like thing. But I think, I'm not sure, but I think every user of the framework would have to do that separately. And I'd rather fix it in the, but I'll give Timo's approach a try.
Yep.
Because I'd rather comply with the latest standards. For the rest, not too much. I had some bug fixes here and there in the listener because that was still doing some weird stuff. And I think like the biggest thing, which was in Timo's recommendation is, and I'm not sure if you have seen this before. Wow, my computer is slow. This is not the best example, but if we look at credentials and slides, I used to have, because I basically copied the API of AFJ.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have all kinds of different state objects, like a credential offer and a proposal and a blah, blah, blah. I removed those. So now we basically have credentials. And the idea is to, if you need more when you're using this package, then you can create your own sub selector, which is quite easy, using like create selector of Redux.js toolkit. And then like if we discover, okay, there are a lot of common patterns everybody's using, like we always need a credential offer message object, then we can add them in. But like I went completely crazy and mental with adding all kinds of stuff. And Timo was right. He said, well, let's maybe try to keep it minimal and then see how it goes from there. So yeah, and for the rest, I had connections, I think, last time, and now I have credentials improved as well. Still fixing some bugs. I'm implementing it in a application we're writing ourselves. So yeah, just, trial and error, and I've been fixing some bugs all day. But that is basically it.
Sweet. So to clarify on your previous point, the idea being that we have a way to access all credentials, but you have to add a specific selector for each kind of state, or because I agree with the point, and I also agree with you. So,
so what you well, okay. We have a credential selector, so you can get a credential by ID, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to get an offer, you from like a user of the package perspective, you can either just get the credential, and I think the credential has the offer link to it. I'm not super sure about that though. So you could like, if that is the case, you could get it from the credential object itself, but yep. You also have Redux Toolkit has a function which is create selector, and you can basically create compound selectors. So you would throw in the get by ID selector, and then you put a comma, and the next thing is just a lambda function where you get the result of the first selector, and then you could take the credential out. And the upside of that approach is that a selector updates the state whenever, or it triggers a re-render whenever that specific object gets updated. So with the first approach where you do like credential record dot offer, it would trigger a re-render every time the credential record updates itself, and with the second approach it would only update if the offer approach if the offer itself changes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's that, yeah,
the ability to get, so let's say I want to have a spot where I list all of my currently offered credentials. Is there a way to get a list or an array of all of the credential records for that are in the state of offer?
Yeah. So, I mean, currently with the ton of selectors I've made here, it's like we have a nested namespace credential record state selectors, which again, like I have to refactor it to just one function where you have an argument with the state, but
yep.
This would basically give you like offer sent selector, for instance, or offer received selector, that would give you all the credentials that are on offer received that have the state offer received, and awesome. Through that object you would be able to get it, but no, like not just the offer object itself.
I was just after the credential record itself.
Okay,
so you've answered that question. And that's a selector, so that should also re-trigger the renders, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, as far as I know, it like the selector just looks at, okay, what object are you returning? And if that object changes, we will trigger a re-render. So if you take any sub-object or nested object from that object, it will, like the whole tree, if anything changes, it will trigger a re-render. So you might want to be more specific, but again, you could use the create selector method. But like again, like if we discover, oh, this is something we use all the time, it's very common.
Mm-hmm.
Because also the thing is like I had like the latest offer, but it's just one. So mm-hmm. Are you gonna like save all of them, or that is a
yeah.
It's not an easy choice, but I guess we'll just have to see how it will be used and how it evolves.
Is there, in terms of how these are structured, is there a harm in having more than less, if that makes any sense, and allow the user to use what they will?
I think Timo probably has a good opinion on this. I mean,
more or less selectors, is the question.
The idea of having more selectors than less selectors of being able to get records for, if that makes any sense.
I think more is better if it like justifies the effort. In a sense that we can add an unlimited amount of selectors, but if nobody's going to use them, and then we're including them in the library, it means eventually we have to write tests for them. And like, so I would say less, because it's very easy to write your own selectors that give you the performance benefits of using selectors. If somebody uses a selector a lot and thinks, hey, we should add it to the core, then we can add it. But I think from what we've seen now we probably want like select all, we want select by ID, and we want some others, but I think very basic at the moment. And otherwise you're already getting, I think, a very use case specific stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, just to give a bit of context, like if you use the create selector method that Redux Toolkit has, you throw in a selector we have, let's say get by ID, and the next thing you put, like you put a comma and then state arrow, and let's say you get the credential by ID, you do like state dot offer. Like it's that simple. It is very, it's very easy to do. And I think if we document it well for now, that will probably do.
I'm on board with the approach. So
it's Timo's approach. Credits to Timo.
Sweet. Well, so good work with this. The next steps here, I'm curious about, is this something like from our angle, is this something that we could start utilizing, or like, is there additions or assistance that would be beneficial on the package itself, or would an approach of let's use this in bifold and actually use it, would that be also a good approach?
Like I am getting out or filtering out like the baby mistakes right now, because this is like I'm implementing it in an app we're building right now, and I discovered some bugs and we'll probably but it sort of works quite well now. In terms of other tools that will be handy or additions, I think we should just like build it out. Like so take other, I don't know, the ledger or whatever module to expose that through to the rest or to the store. And I think it will be beneficial anyway to like get as much implementation as we can using this, because then at some point we'll discover, oh, these kind of selectors are handy to have in the package, or oh, this is another function that would be beneficial.
Agreed.
So would be good to implement it in bifold, I think.
Okay. So my thought process there is to have Neil start working on using it within bifold. Neil has started working on some UI revamp and restructure to help make that be a better code structure in bifold. So probably continue on that while you clean up some of your bugs that you had found.
Perfect. Just one last thing, because we're focusing on the actual app that is using it. I have not written tests yet. Timo, I think, has offered to look into that. The slices are untested right now. They're just being tested by actually being implemented. So that will, like, unit tests will be an important next step, I think.
Yeah, I'll take a look at unit tests, but I first wanted to use them, just like, get familiar with them, see if they work, see if we don't need refactoring, and then we'll add tests.
That makes a lot of sense. Prove out the functionality before having to refactor and refactor the tests.
Exactly. It's like twice the code base you have to refactor. So.
Yo. Awesome. Anything else? Package name. What are our thoughts here? I'm not actually entirely opposed to the Redux store. I guess a clarification on that, which I think I saw some things about, is this actually tied specifically to React Native because of some of the Redux pieces? Like there would have to be a separate, either separate dependencies or packages for Node or otherwise?
No dependency on React Native, so it can also be used in React. Okay. The question there is, Air's framework JavaScript doesn't work in the browser, so interested to see how you will use it. But you could use it in Electron, for example, for building desktop applications, because there you can use native binaries. So yeah, it's a general thing. And I think the long-term idea was, for now we keep it here, but I'm working on moving Air's framework JavaScript to a monorepo, as we discussed on the AFJ call. And I think this would be a good fit to move over there, because we will have like everything set up to add other packages, and it will be very easy to release it with the pipeline of the rest of the framework.
I'm on board with that. I think I guess one one question I have there is, one of the things that I want to do in this kind of realm is, so for instance, want to tackle internationalization and localization at some point, and that if we can do that at the state management level, that is helpful. So I'm not sure how that kind of stuff could fit in for the manipulation of data, and some of that leans more towards the UI side of things, which I'm fine actually putting into the towards the AFJ stuff. And or like if we do generic UI components that people can just right off the bat use with the state management, is that something you think would also be good to put in the AFJ bundle?
In general, I think, but I think people have very different opinions on this. I would like to keep it like, I think if we can bundle it together, then we can just make sure everything in the repo works together, and we can release that like at the same time. So we don't have to worry about the interop or like working it all together. So yeah, that as my preference, but it adds some extra burden to maintaining Air's framework JavaScript, because you now have the responsibility to keep such libraries up to date. But yeah, I think that would be a great fit.
I think that makes sense to me. I also don't necessarily think that diminishes this effort either, because likely this call is focused on the React Native portions and or UI pieces in relation to AFJ, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I think we should just everything that's not React Native specific, or like cross-platform intended, we can keep at AFJ level.
Mm-hmm. So I agree with that strategy. And the burden of maintaining also that you mentioned, we may be able to, as that becomes more problematic, we can separate the versions out of the packages versus having them all be tied to the same version. Which is a different problem, but would address that in the future at some point.
Yeah, so we can move them along separately, I think, in the end. But yeah, I thought for initially it's just easier to keep it all on the same level.
Agreed.
Just a tiny, tiny, whiny addition to what was said earlier. It is not like, I think last call, it worked fully in Node.js, the package. And for the selectors, I had to add like React Redux, the React Redux package. So it will still work in React Native and React, but pure Node.js now needs the React dependency. So, yeah, that's a thingy.
is this package then, is that an alteration in implementation we need to do? Or is it, I would say it's more appropriate to, for instance, change the name to be like React Redux Store.
Yeah, I'm not sure. What I would like to look into later on is because I think selectors are not necessarily a React thing. Timo surely knows where from what kind of package. Like it's a re-exported function, the create selector thing, from another package that is, I think, reselect or something. Timo, am I correct on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So reselect, and I think that might work in Node.js as well. So two approaches. I think for now, just rename it to React Redux Store. But maybe later on, we can like refactor it and make sure that it runs in also in Node.js and other platforms. That would be cool.
Yep. Different thoughts on name on this? Is that a good name to you, Timo, or is there different thoughts from you on that?
I'm fine with it. I think it's the most common use case. I think that's good. I think it is specifically tied to React at the moment. So let's be explicit.
Awesome. Question, if it's tied to React specifically, do we, no, okay. I was thinking for a second that we might run into test difficulties, but it's not React Native specific, so.
No, I think you can just use, I did some little research. I think you can use Jest or Mocha or whatever you want, like just the JS test framework.
Agreed. The React Native testing gets interesting sometimes. Anyways, awesome. Thank you for giving us some update there on that, Kareem, and the work that you've been doing.
Sure, no problem.
Awesome. I had a line item here for shared components, mostly probably a status of like, is there anything that we needed to do there or updates there, or is that mostly stalled in favor of other priorities?
Sorry, I missed a question.
Shared components, are we doing anything there, or is that mostly stalled in priority of other things?
It's like, stalled. It's, we don't have the, like, any direct need for it at the moment. So it's very hard to, start working on such a big commitment. It's just not something you do in a day. So we can't work on it at the moment.
Awesome. On a similar vein, actually, Timo, I was curious if you know with the indie SDK, there's the issue with that it utilizes Android external storage, which as of Android 12 will no longer be viable. I can grab the relevant issue that was created for that. My question there was, do you know, is that something that would be able to be, I'm not exactly fully up to speed on the release process, or if anybody's even maintaining in the SDK and what that actually, if that got updated, would that be something that could be released and then actually utilized, do you think?
I think it depends a bit on the level on which that is if that like external storage, I'm not sure how that works in if that's an like Android layer thing, or that it's the like writing a Rust C callable library, and that automatically requires, because of the build tools they use or something, requires. Because I think a new release of libindy is, I think that's going to be hard, because yeah, the last time they did it, they put a lot of time in it, because you need to fix all the stuff, you need to do a lot of manual stuff and then release something. And but it, the wrappers are very easily to update. I do that regularly with the Indie SDK wrapper for Node.js, for example. That's easy, just not binary.
Just to be clear here, are we talking about like the Genesis file problem, like the file path versus?
No, it's the permission. Indie SDK requires the external storage permission on Android to be able to store files, I think. And yeah, that needs to be fixed, I think.
And I believe, unfortunately, it is at the Rust layer that it is performing that. Cool. That gave me some extra knowledge of some information there that we will need to solve soon-ish. awesome. Sorry for the tangent there on that. I had two topics here, and the Bluetooth transport. This is a question for me to Timo or Kareem. I don't know if you worked on it, but in the work that you did for specifying the Bluetooth format, we've been assisting architecture wise on Bluetooth transport level, and we've run into issues with actually having communication of Bluetooth between Android and iOS. I was wondering if there was anything that you had found on that front or discussed or anything, or if that was not on your radar as of yet.
No, we haven't any like practical experience with Bluetooth transport for DITCOM. We did like an initial design of how we could use Bluetooth, like how define the minimal requirements to make it used as an interoperable transport. But no, I mean, while doing the research, I went down a rabbit hole of things, of problems that arise when you do interoperability between the two. But I think it just comes down to a lot of, I found a lot of articles that had different opinions on it. So that's the only thing that I could provide you, like a lot of a list of resources of people talking about the issues of it and their solutions.
If you could provide that, that could be helpful. I would appreciate that. Awesome. The last thing I had on the agenda was we presented at the Aries Working Group call our efforts towards machine readable governance. This is something I want to start more seriously implementing, and there's some issues there with, or not issues, approach-wise with AFJ. I'm not sure if this is something you've already given some thought, or if this is, and or you had opinions on how we go about doing this. Or would it be best to approach it and we can propose something and then have further conversation from there?
Did you present on it last week?
Yes. Yeah.
I thought oh, I thought it was on the calendar for today, and I was like, oh, nice, I would like to see it, but that was last week. All right, so then I think I'll watch the recording. So no, I don't have any opinion on it, not really informed on this subject.
Cool. It's some pretty cool stuff. I think the biggest, my thought process for the approach initially is to essentially have a module that can listen to other modules with the event listeners, and based off the config that's it, it's passed, or the, I should say the governance that it is passed, it can make decisions on the behalf of the user, or the developer, I should say. But I figured I would ask if you had already given it thought versus trying to redo your thinking there. So awesome.
I will have a look at it too. I'm super interested in this. I'm involved in a like weird working group involving the UN and some other people, but it's more like about digital rights. The Universal Declaration of Digital Rights, as they call it, very fancy, but it's just Kalia and four other losers, including me, talking about it. But this is something that comes up there regularly as well. I'll definitely check out the video and probably will contact you about this.
Awesome. We've cool. already actually gained a lot of traction, because we presented in the Aries working group call, and then we presented in the Cardia call, and then we had some discussion and presentation in the Trust over IP, one of the discussions there. So definitely a hot topic. So happy to get the conversation rolling.
So much potential this has. It's super difficult, but it, well, yeah. Yep. Agreed. Very cool.
Awesome.
That's a question on the Bluetooth stuff. If I remember correctly, last time you worked with Bluetooth Classic, were you referring to Bluetooth Low Energy or Bluetooth Classic?
I believe they were utilizing Bluetooth Classic.
I think that it probably what you will find then is update to Bluetooth Low Energy for interoperability. I think Bluetooth Classic is very I think that's exactly what Bluetooth Low Energy tries to solve over the Classic one.
I think the actual implementers, I don't fully remember the conversation, so I cannot recall if they actually tried using BLE or not. So I will follow up with them on that. Because I could see there still being issues, but you are right that it is likely that is the more likely the smoother path between the two for working between Android and iOS. Awesome. That's all I had on the agenda for today. Anything else that we wanted to discuss or bring up today?
Not from my side. Nice work, Jim.
Awesome. Well, I think that's going to do it for today. Thank you for all of your guys' efforts and attending today. And we will see you at the AFJ call and in 2 weeks. Thank you, everybody.
Bye bye.
Thanks. Cheers. Have a nice week.